If you strive to attain something, then you're going to spend the rest of your life striving to maintain that thing. If you want that and you do everything and you step on toes and you outdo everyone else to get it, then you're going to have to look out for the next guy that comes along and does what you did. You see, you're going to strive, you'll have no peace. But if God gives it to you, hey, praise the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lifts up one, puts down another. You see, that was David's attitude, and that is a great attitude to have.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel chapters 23 and 24.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
The men of David said to him, "Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.'" Now, I don't see anywhere where the Lord said that to David. I see David's men saying that, thinking that, yeah, maybe this would be what God is wanting to say to you, David. But David didn't get any divine revelation like that. The men are encouraging David there. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. And it came about afterwards that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, "Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." And verse 7, "And David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose and went and left the cave and went on his way." I think it's interesting that the men of David, the men that were following David, and Saul pretty much said the same thing in the as it was related to God. Oh, the circumstances. Look at the circumstances. Those determine our actions. Oh, the circumstances. David is in Keilah, and there's only one way in. God has given him into our hands. Circumstances determine actions. Wasn't true. Now, in the cave, circumstances. David, God has delivered Saul into your hand, so kill him. Circumstances determine actions. No, not at all. We've got to be careful. Because circumstances are not always the opportunities that maybe the carnal mind or the natural mind or the fleshly mind might make that determination. It's not always true. You see, to David's men, oh, God's providence, he's giving you the opportunity to kill Saul, David. But David saw it as an opportunity to trust God all the more. We've got to be careful. I've heard people say in circumstances, and they let their life be led by circumstances. That can be a very difficult thing, and it can put you in, a place that you don't want to be. You see, David is trusting the Lord. It would seem, wouldn't it? David's anointed king. Saul's keeping him from that position. In fact, Saul wants to kill him. So, wow, the circumstances seem right. Why don't you just run him through, David? And the problem solved. You see, take matters into your own hands. You know, God's given you the opportunity. But you see, that's not how David lived his life. You see, David thought, well, hey, God has put him on the throne, and so I'm going to trust God to take him off the throne when God wants to. In the Psalms, David writes in Psalm 75, 6 and 7, not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is judge. He puts down one and exalts another. You see, the difference with David, as with his men, David had an awakened conscience. He sensed what God's feelings would be about any situation that he was in. God, what would you want me to do? What would you do? How do you feel about me taking action here? He had an awakened conscience. He was convicted even when he cut off the edge of Saul's robe. That's an amazing thing. When you contrast it with Saul, Saul wasn't even convicted when he butchered 85 of the priests of God. What a difference. It seems like David did such a minor thing. But his conscience, he felt his conscience was violated. You see, David had high regard for God's office as a king. And his men didn't. Men didn't think anything of it. You see, a person's going to act according to their character, according to who they are in relationship with God. That's why I would say that a lot of David's men were very carnal. And David was good for them. Iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. So David really being the model for those guys to become spiritual. But you see, I found that if we strive to attain something, oh, you can't live without this. Oh, you know, God, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Lord, I can't live without this. Well, God's not working, so I'm going to go get it. You see, that's what David's men were like. That's what Saul was like. But that's not what David was like. God, in your time, you want me to have it, however you work, Lord, you do it. Because if you strive to attain something, then you're going to spend the rest of your life striving to maintain that thing. If you want that, and you do everything, and you step on toes, and you outdo everyone else to get it, then you're going to have to look out for the next guy that comes along and does what you did. You see, you're going to strive, you'll have no peace. But if God gives it to you, hey, praise the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lifts up one, puts down another. You see, that was David's attitude, and that is a great attitude to have. He goes on in verse 8. Now afterwards, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men, saying, 'Behold, David seeks to harm you'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said, kill you. But my eye had pity on you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" Notice there were those that were on Saul's staff that were stirring him up. There are always those in a company or those that want to get close to the boss or get close to, you know, the decision-making power. And what they will do is they will gossip against others that probably are more qualified than they are. But they'll try to make them look bad inside of the boss or inside of the manager, and they will try to outmaneuver and manipulate and talk about and put down and create gossip and tension and strife. And that's what was happening here. Why do you believe this gossip, these stories, the things that people are telling you that are not true? You see, David's son Solomon wrote Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man spreads strife and a slander separates intimate friends. I mean, at one point, Saul really embraced David. And then with Saul's jealousy and with all these perverse people spreading strife, the Bible says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secret. Do not associate with a gossip. If you have a friend that's a gossip, I'd say get another friend. They're not worth having. When they start gossiping, you need to quote some of these scriptures and Proverbs. The words of a whisperer, like dainty morsels, they go down into the innermost parts of the being. See, that's what they were doing. They were whispering about David. Oh, he wants your life. He wants your throne. Oh, he's plotting against you. It's like the dainty morsel going down into Saul and just stirring that jealousy up in Saul. The Bible says six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination. He who spreads strife among the brethren, Proverbs 6:16. The thing I love about David is he valued principle over expedience. Expedience said, get rid of Saul and take the throne. It's yours, David. David said, no, I'm going to do what's right in God's sight. Principle. I'm a principle man. I live my life by principles. And you see, if you live your life by principles in the Word of God, that's why I say we need to live out of this book. There are principles here we live by. We don't compromise that. We don't give in to expedience. Well, if I just do this, I just shade, you know, if I just violate a little, you know, it'll be okay. No, it won't. It'll come back on you. And you'll find the next time you'll just do a little bit more. And then the next time a little bit more. And then more and more and more, and pretty soon you'll find yourself like you were before you got saved. Walking in the flesh, full of corruption, thinking about all these things, and fantasizing how wonderful it was when you were a Christian walking in the Spirit. You know how I know? Because I've got people that have done that very thing. It's like they want to come back, but something's holding them back. Oh, I'll be a hypocrite if I come back, Bill. No, you won't, man. Just repent. Come back to the Lord. Lord's not going to cast you away. But, you know, principle. Principle is so important. Verse 11, and he says, now my father, see the edge of your robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you, know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands. And I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. That was a common saying. Out of the wicked comes wickedness. Didn't Jesus say something similar? You know, he took it and, you know, he made it what we quote now. You'll know them by their fruits. The thorn bush cannot produce grapes, nor can the vine produce thorns. Out of the mouth comes fresh water or bitter. You know, make the well bitter or make it sweet. Don't, you know, have two things coming out of, you know, out of the well. You know, don't let bitter speech come out of you and then, you know, good speech. Don't think that you can be a prickly thorn and bear fruit unto the Lord. He's saying, get it right. Do it right. And so Saul, what does Saul always says? All these nice words, these wonderful words, but he's not that, you know, and you'll see that in a moment. You see, David doesn't avenge himself, not at all. He leaves it to the Lord. I think one of the best books you could get if you're interested in this, and maybe you're in a situation where you work with people, And there are those climbing the ladder and they want to push you down, and you feel like you want to retaliate, and you have all these things going on inside. The Tale of Three Kings, probably one of the best small books that you can get. In our leadership class, I had the guys read that, so we got a bunch. I don't even know if we have them in the bookstore now, but you can check it out if you want to. But I had guys coming back and they said, this is now my favorite book. This is the best book I've ever read when it deals with leadership. Because it deals with David and Saul and Absalom. And it's, to me, it's really powerful. It really speaks to me as a leader. And I think if you want to get a good book, that's a great resource book. And David, he's not going to avenge himself. David said in Psalm 62:6, the Lord is my defense and my refuge. Whom shall I fear? Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Jesus, though being reviled, he did not revile in return, but entrusted himself to the one who judges righteously. That is what David is doing here. Verse 14 goes on, after whom? Now he's still talking to Saul. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A single flea? The Lord therefore be judge between you and me, and may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. The strongest position that you and I have, as David has, is to let the Lord be the judge. Lord, you be the judge in this situation. I mark my Bible up. And throughout the years, we've been through some things, and I will put little markers there in little dates. Lord, deal with this situation. And it has to deal with God being the judge. And then I'll come back maybe years later and I go, thank you, Lord, you've answered that. It's pretty amazing and it's cool. I like to do that. But you see, that's a strong position to have. Because he's going to vindicate you if you're in the right. If he wants something for you, he'll vindicate you. The Bible says the wise listen to reproof and become wiser. The fool goes on in his folly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You see, it's trusting in the Lord. That's the strong position we have. That's the position David had. Now notice. Now it came about when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Oh boy, oh, how repentant he is. No, not at all. There is a sorrow of the world that leads to death, and then there is a sorrow of the Lord that leads to repentance. You see, Saul is sorry. He's humiliated and busted in front of all his soldiers. And it's the truth here. I mean, he's just, he's revealed. His folly is revealed. His foolishness is revealed. And I've seen many weep. Weeping really doesn't, I know that weeping can come with repentance. I know that. I've experienced that. I've seen that. But I have seen those who weep, and it's just crocodile tears. There's nothing behind it. And then they go on like the dog returns to its vomit, like the sow after washing goes back to the wallow in the mire. Seen that as well. And that's really what we see with Saul here. And usually when you do weep and, oh, all the contrition, and then you go back to the, what you were before, you become harder. You become worse. And Saul is becoming worse. Verse 17, and he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you. Oh, how true. He said it, but he didn't mean it. He recognized the truth, but he was not willing to live by it. Verse 18 to the end, and you have declared today that you have done good to me, and that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. And now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. And David swore to Saul, and Saul went to his home, and David and his men went up to the stronghold. Saul went home humiliated and exposed before himself and before his men. And yet it didn't do any good. Sometimes we think if we can humiliate a person enough, just bring them low enough, make a child feel so ashamed for what they did, that's going to change them. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Instruct them, love them. Don't try to shame them into, you know, oblivion. Just doesn't work. Nor individuals does it work. I mean, you couldn't get more exposed and humiliated than Saul, but it didn't bring repentance. Nor did it do anything to those that were following him. They didn't leave the party of Saul and now join the party of David and his mighty men. You'd think they would, but they didn't. People get bent in one way and they just go that way. You know, the interesting thing, I think, as Saul goes home, David goes to the stronghold. Wait a minute. Didn't Saul just repent and they're going to live happily ever after? David's no fool. David goes to the stronghold because he knows what lies within man. He knows what's within Saul, and he doesn't trust Saul. The Bible says the prudent sees evil and hides himself, but the naive goes on and are punished for it. You see, what David does do is he does preserve, as Saul is saying, don't cut off my family completely. And David said, I won't. And he does preserve one of the family of Saul. Remember who it is? Mephibosheth. Remember him? But the rest of the kids are wiped out, and even Jonathan. And as we go on in our study, we'll see that.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 23 and 24. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 25 and 26. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.